A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome into the program. Felga and Maserati coming on Tuesday, January 4th. We have part of the show in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I remain remote. It is a Tuesday during the football season. So we know what that means, Maz. It means only one thing.
Big boy!
It's a big boy Tuesday, exactly. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. I believe he is also remote. Greg, are you there?
I am here. How we doing, fellas?
Good, good.
Good, man. How you doing? All right, so here it's the same drill. We're going to talk football with Greg for the next 2 hours. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. Greg, we'll just start with your generic temperature on this Patriots team right now after the last 3 weeks. And that's how we want to do that. I don't want to say after the Jaguars game. I want you to make it of a piece. The Jaguars game preceded by the Colts and Bills game. What's your temperature of this team right now?
I would say I'm uneasy about this team. I think this team has revealed itself to this point to be, you know, when they put everything together, they're a good team. And they could beat anybody. They could also lose to anybody. They're 7-0 against teams under 500. They're 3-6 against teams 500 or worse. I think that the Bills were sort of their nightmare come to reality. You know, we talked about it for weeks ahead of time. What's going to happen when a team spreads out the Patriots' defense, doesn't let them scheme up pressures? How are they going to handle things defensively? Are they going to be able to stop anybody? And, you know, a decent quarterback with a decent running game. And Josh Allen and the Bills completely exposed the Patriots on the defensive side of the ball. Now, that being said, and not to sound like a Patriots homer or anything, I'm glad that game happened because I feel better about their chances in a rematch should it happen, because there are easy, not easy, but there are blatant fixes that they need to make on defense. But I still have some worry about this team. Even this Jaguars game, no matter what went on in this game, and it was basically a preseason game, we have no illusions, 50-10. It was ridiculous. That was not even a good Jaguars team. And I think that the Patriots, the thing that has me worried the most is the defense. I think that they play passive on defense. If they don't find a way to get a negative play, and there's really only two guys that are going to do that on a consistent basis, that's Matthew Judon, who hasn't been seen much over the last month. Christian Barmore, every week, he does that. If they don't get negative plays, it's hard for them to get off the field. I mean, it is ridiculous that the offense goes out in the second half against the Bills, gets two drives for touchdowns, and they don't get a third possession until the game's over. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The defense to me has me worried. The way they're playing tells me that their coaches are scared to death and they say, we can't cover anybody, because that's the way they're playing in the secondary. Offensively, you know, they're doing okay. Mac Jones, I thought, was okay to good in this game. A lot of it was, you know, easy stuff. The throw to touchdown throw to Jacoby Myers, of course, was a dime. But, you know, he's been later and later on throws as the season's gone on. You know, his decision making, there's now multiple times in each game where you're now like, well, why did he take this? Why didn't he look for this? And so, I'm a little bit uneasy about this team at this point, but I do think this Miami game is a good opportunity for them to have actual confidence, not fake confidence from the Jaguars, actual confidence against a team that has beaten you 3 out of 4 times and a defense that knows how to play you.
So, go
ahead, Mess.
So, Greg, what I was going to say is go back to where you were at the 7-game winning streak. Okay, and did you think that they would play better than they did against Indianapolis and Buffalo? Can those two games be perceived as disappointments, or is that who they are?
That they got swept the way they got swept, trailing 44-7 combined, you know, basically through the first half of those games. Hell yeah, I was concerned. I mean, during the 7-game winning streak, and I took a lot of heat for it. After the Titans game, they won by 23 points, but I was asking questions about, like, why was this a 1-score game midway through the fourth quarter, or at least had the potential if Tannehill goes in from the 1? No one wanted to ask those questions. I was concerned, and I was asking questions about, like, what happens if a team goes shotgun spread against them and spreads them out and makes them cover and exposes sort of, you know, the way they want to run pressures and things like that. And it was basically those two games were a nightmare. It was nice that they came back, but why are they getting into that position? So those two games together, I mean, look, they split those games. They're the number one seed in the AFC. And for them to come out collectively, especially the Buffalo game, you can understand the Colts game, okay, bye, whatever, you know, tough environment. You come home to the Bills with that much on the line, and that's how the Patriots answer. To me, that was very, very concerning.
Okay, and you say defense, Greg, and you think there's some easy fixes. So you don't think it's purely personnel, like they just don't have the horses. Do you think there's adjustments they could – what are you talking about?
Well, certainly they don't have the horses in the secondary. At least the coaches don't believe that. The way that they have played, the way how soft they're playing and the way they're playing zone and how they basically, like, you know, unless we know we're going to get pressure against a bad offensive line or, you know, a bad quarterback or bad weapons, then we're not going to play much man to man. You know, I think that tells you where their personnel is in the secondary. And also the Bills exposed their linebackers in coverage to the point they tried Tavai this week as an inside linebacker against the pass, and he was a disaster. They have nothing there. Teams can just take their checkdowns. But the big thing from the Bills game that just drove me up a wall that I know will get corrected is, number one, their rush discipline was just god-awful. They can't be coaching it that way. It was a complete failure of execution. Josh Allen on every play could do whatever he wanted to back there. That can't be the point. And then the biggest thing is, are they ever going to get physical on the outside? Or are they just going to play flag football? Is anybody going to hit anybody in the 5-yard box and throw off the timing and reroute people? Or are they just going to let them run wherever they want to run? Because that's what they did against the Bills. And Josh Allen burned their ass the entire game. Isaiah McKenzie runs in front of Kyle Duggar twice in the fourth quarter within arm's length. Does Duggar touch him? No. And he just runs. He's able to catch a pass like 8 seconds later on the other sideline. That just can't go on. That won't go on. I don't think it will if they meet the Bills again. So to me, those are easy fixes, but you know, you still have to have the horses. You still got to get these teams in the negative situations and turn some of these drives over. I mean, the 2 offensive drives in the second half against the Bills, that's pathetic.
All right. So, Greg, did you not work last week?
What do you mean?
Were you not on the radio? Because it feels like you're and believe me, I like it. You're really more stuck on the Bills game than the Jaguars game. Like, you haven't had a chance to state your piece on what happened against Buffalo.
No, I was on the radio like twice last week, so I did talk about this, but it just has stuck in my craw. And you know, especially considering if the Patriots won one of those games, they would be in the driver's seat for the number one seed and a bye, and instead, they're fighting it out to be the visitor on the road wild card weekend. I mean, it's just, They just blew it.
Okay, once again, phones are open for you, folks, at 617-779-0985. Your temperature on Mac Jones specifically, I know you mentioned it just a little bit before, but give me more.
I mean, I think Mac has been good. He's been good, solid. I don't think he has really developed into a difference maker as the season's gone on. I don't necessarily think that's a negative. That's a lot to ask for a rookie, especially when he's not surrounded, by great, weapons outside of a really good running game and a good offensive line. I think he's been, he's done what they've wanted him to do. Can they play winning football with him? Yeah, if they have a good defense, but as of right now, they don't have a good defense, at least not against the better teams in this league.
So, Greg, what I was going to ask you then as it relates to Jones is, didn't he get, and I say exposed, okay, but didn't we get shown the limitations of his ability, at least as a rookie, in the two games with Indianapolis and Buffalo? Like, I feel like the passing game in those games got exposed.
I'm trying to think back now. I thought the offense was okay. I thought it was good enough. I mean, I just think collectively the starts by the team in general, was really rough, and the reason why those losses happened. It was hard for me to pinpoint it exactly on Jones. I didn't think he played great in either game, but I don't think the team played great. And Mac Jones at this point is not going to elevate a team around him. Well, that's just not who he is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Greg, is that we had some question going into those games, though, right? Like, what happens when they get behind? Can he elevate the team? Do we now have a clear answer on that?
I would say at this point in his rookie year, he can't elevate the whole rest. Certainly, I don't think you're making this comparison, but if Tom Brady was here, would he be elevating this team and some of the subpar pieces? Hell yeah. But I don't expect Mac Jones to be that. I don't think the team expected him to be that. And that wasn't the formula. The formula was for this defense to be a lot better. And I think to this point, when they played better teams, I think they've been sort of a paper lion on defense instead of, the real backbone of this team. I mean, they certainly have opportunities here coming where they can prove us all wrong. But to this point, to me, the defense doesn't look good enough to fit the quarterback.
Okay, calls with Bedard, 617-779-0985, right after these words.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheer to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time. The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, I'm from Mac's hometown. Could you just talk about what he has been able to do this year? Only four Hall of Fame quarterbacks have ever, in their rookie seasons, led their team to the playoffs, and those were all in the pre-free agency era. Could you talk about whether it's his maturity level, his preparation, whatever it is that has enabled him to get your team to this point?
Yeah, well, again, Mac's super consistent. Every day is really the same day for Mac. He's always well prepared. He's in early. He's ready to go. He knows what we're going to be doing, and he's already got a head start on it. So, he maximizes the information that the coaches give him, maximizes the walkthroughs, the practice reps, and learns from whatever happens in those situations. He's smart. He's a good learner, but he's got good instincts and good mechanics. He's, he's just worked hard to get better every day. So a lot of consistency and, great work ethic and really pays attention to details, and it's just improved in every area throughout the course of the year. Continues to improve on a daily basis. And, he's just a great person to coach. Because he's so responsive to trying to do everything the way that you want to do it. And You know, Josh has done a fantastic job with them, and you know, Max really, I think, embraced the wisdom that Josh has transmitted to him, and you know, he played extremely well today.
That's Belichick postgame on Sunday on Mac Jones. A lot of nice things to say about that player. All right, let's talk some football with Bedard. We'll take your calls. Greg Bedard, by the way, is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Joe in Pittsfield, lead us off. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, guys, I want to ask Bedard this question about the secondary. I think they're slow, no matter if they play man-to-man or zone. You saw the guy when Buffalo played that Singletary, that 41 was chasing him. He was 5-6 yards away. I think it's a lack of speed in the secondary. I'm just asking your opinion. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I don't think speed would be one of my chief criticisms of the secondary. I mean, you could say, you know, Devin McCourty has lost a step. Adrian Phillips is fine. Duggar certainly is fine when he knows what he's doing on a play, which he's been doing more and more every week. Secondary, J.C. Jackson's fine. Jalen Mills obviously is challenged. He's not really an NFL starting cornerback. He's more of a you know, extra defensive back, safety. That's what he was targeted for when he came here. And Miles Bryant, you know, he's fine. He's another guy who's sort of a do-everything guy in the secondary and has been, you know, put into the situation where he has to replace Jonathan Jones with the injury. And I think he's done fine overall. My criticism of the secondary and the defense in general is, like, I just don't think they're physical enough. I think they are scared when they see a team come out and spread them out and they do have weapons that could threaten them. I think the way that they defend is very passive, and they're trying just not to get burned, and they're trying not to give up the big play. That seems like that's the number one goal on every play, instead of, you know, making game changing plays. And, you know, I just think that the Patriots just need to do a better job of rerouting guys. I thought Matthew Judon against the Bills, was terrible when he had an opportunity. You know, he either tackle Dawson Knox if he had him, or he just let him go. And I thought that led to a couple of big plays. And I think you just can't let these guys have free releases on shallow crossers and go across the field and run unfettered for 20 yards. Josh Allen is going to bide time, and he's going to get you. Any quarterback would. It looked like, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the last game of 2019, when he basically picked apart the Patriots for 60 minutes. It's the same sort of thing. If you're going to play passive and you're going to play scared, like I think the Patriots have, then you're going to give up yards and you're going to give up points.
I'll tell you, the Miles Bryant, the player that I liked, I think we all liked, sort of a tough, physical, good nose for the ball kind of player. And then in that Buffalo game, great. I will say, you know, for all the guys like you who've been blowing smoke up the skirt of Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator there in Buffalo, I never really saw it until that game where Brian Daboll said, and he probably looked at the film and he looked at the matchups and said, you know what? That 41, he can't cover. He can't cover. And we're gonna go after him. And that kind of impressed me. It's that old thing where we always say, if the Patriots make you beat them left-handed, and if you can do it, great. The Bills did.
Yeah, right.
You know what? That's our third option, but that's our best option. The Pats are going to give us that one. That's where we have an advantage, and that's not normally a player we would go to in McKenzie, but we're going to do it, and that's how you beat them. And I finally saw Brian Daboll and said, oh, well, there you go. You get it.
Oh,
I think you're totally right, Mike. I thought I came out of that game, and to me it looked like a game where Brian Daboll basically pants the defensive coaches of the Patriots, that he knew exactly what they wanted to do. I mean, there were some concepts where, you know, the Patriots, to the point where J.C. Jackson is telling Miles Bryant, we're going to stay in locked coverage against trips instead of comboing. Josh Allen literally saw the signal, then signaled to the wide receivers to change their route, so the Patriots couldn't cover the route on a third and two. It was a nice, easy completion to Isaiah McKenzie. I thought that, you know, Daboll knows exactly, hey, the Patriots are probably going to go to single high here. They've been killing the Patriots on skinny posts in both games, even in the wind. They had a touchdown and should have had another one if Jalen Mills didn't hold hold Gabriel Davis. They had another touchdown in the second game. And I thought that Daboll went into this game and he said, you know what? I guarantee you Bill is going to take Dawson Knox away from us. And guess what? I don't give a crap. We're going to use him as a decoy. We're going to let Matthew Judon play with Dawson Knox 10 yards away from the ball while we're burning the rest of the defense down the field. And that's exactly what they did. And so you're absolutely right. I thought Brian Daboll was the difference in that game and totally had a game plan that was ready to kill the Patriots.
I mean, Mike, to your point, that's the kind of stuff that Coughlin used to do. Right. Coughlin used to go in against Belichick and know, well, he's not going to let me do this. So I'm going to throw to our third guy and we'll be fine. And that's, you know, again, there's a reason he had the record he did against Belichick. But the other thing which relates to something that Greg was saying earlier, they have one guy who can cover. One. They really only have one guy that can cover, and that's J.C. Jackson. That's it. This is why they have to play zone. So when they go against a half-functional quarterback and the wind isn't blowing 50 miles an hour, you know, all of a sudden they can't man up. They're going to have to just sit there and get picked apart, which is what happened in that Buffalo game.
John and Lowell, you're up next with Greg Bedard. Hi, John.
Hi. My point is, by changing the game to 425, do you think the Patriots get an advantage on who they play and what their seeding could be?
Okay. Like they're going to try harder? That's 425? I think they're trying to win this game regardless whether it's a 1 or 4. So, no. Like what? If they lose, they get a better matchup? I mean, I guess that could be it. I don't know. I guess I'd have to look at it. I think everyone's winning. So, I don't know what that means, but I don't know. I never thought of it. I guess I have to look at that. If they could lose and go to the 6 or the 7 seed and get, you know, what would it be? Cincinnati instead of Buffalo, for example?
Yeah, but the big one, Mike.
They would toy around with that.
Yeah, Buffalo will play at the same time they do, though. Both of those games are at 425. So the division's going to be in play at 425. So, you know, the Patriots have to play it out. Like, you know, you keep an eye on the Buffalo game, certainly. And if Buffalo's blowing out the Jets and then, you know, you're in the second half and you say, okay, we're going to call off the dogs and maybe you can adjust it that way. But at 425, they're going the same time you are. You got to play it out.
Yeah, either way, I think, Jimmy, you know, look, the Chiefs play on Saturday, so they'll know something about the number one seed. The Titans play at 1 o'clock on Sunday, so they'll know if the number one seed is up for grabs at that point before they kick off, or at least around when they kick off. But like Tony said, the division's still in play, and judging off the Bills, the way they just played the Falcons, I mean, Josh Allen had a 17 passer rating through 3 interceptions, and if the Falcons weren't a Southern Dome team that did look like they didn't want to be outdoors, they might have gotten beaten, and the Jets are playing hard. I mean, you never know what's going to happen at 425, and all of a sudden that gives you a home game if you win the division. So to me, they have to play it out.
Jimmy, give me line one. I logged on late, so I don't even have the name. Tell me who this is and pop them up.
Alex in Texas.
Hey, guys. Yes, sir.
Hi, Alex.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So how you guys were talking yesterday, Mac Jones having a good rookie season. I think he's having an okay rookie season. And based off of the season, he's not the guy. What we need to see to determine that is a big jump, a Joe Burrow-type jump next year to see if he really is the guy. He hasn't done anything this year to show you that he's just been passing the ball to anybody that's open. Anybody could do that.
Okay, Greg, your thoughts on that? Has he had a great rookie year or just a okay rookie year?
I would say he's had a good rookie year. I think it's better than okay. I wouldn't say it's great. I think that Mac Jones, as we talked about going back probably to training camp, that he is going into a situation as a rookie quarterback that not many rookie quarterbacks can say. It's very few that get this opportunity about, you know, let's also note this. The Patriots were one game under 500 last year with a crappy roster and a crappy quarterback, and they still almost got to 500. You know, so they're what, 3 games better this year? You know, is that the quarterback? No, it's the roster in general and the free agent expenditure. I think he's done fine as far as, you know, whether he's the guy going forward. I think I'm still where I was early on in the season, where I always thought, I think he's the guy. But I do think we're going to see a lot of growth out of Mac Jones in the next year or two after this season. Do I know that? No, but I really like his intangibles. I think his arm will get a little bit stronger, and I think he is the franchise quarterback for this team. I'm not looking for a quarterback this offseason. Maybe I look at next year to sort of see where he is, but I like where they are with Mac Jones right now.
Oh, even invoking the thing about looking for the next quarterback, why would you even go there? Why would those words even leave your lips? Your ample,
because you guys have been dancing. You guys have been dancing around. If you're asking questions like you guys talked about yesterday, whether he's the guy or not, if you don't say yes, definitely, aren't you looking for another guy? Or what are you doing?
No.
Yes.
Well, because. Oh my God!
What?
But I knew Murray would say yes. I knew he was going to say yes.
Well, what if Deshaun Watson was available? Would you trade Mac Jones and a pick for Deshaun Watson? I would tonight.
Yes.
Sounds like Gasper just got on the line.
Would you go back into the draft?
No. No. I might think about a third or fourth round pick.
I mean, right. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Something like that. Right. Okay. I'm not going back into the draft. If Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson falls into your lap, or Aaron Rodgers, all right, fine. You know, talk to me. But I'm not going. You know, I'm not like the Giants where I'm. You know, I have to go back into the draft or something like that. I don't think that's what that is at all. But I'm surprised. So the reason, Greg, I'm not going there because he just may be a guy, not the guy, is. How often do you get the guy? Like, a lot of things gotta sort of line up for you to get the guy. And with Bill Belichick here, I'd like to think you can win with someone less than the guy.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I just thought you were dancing around it the whole time where you're like, you guys are debating whether he's the guy or not. When you say the guy, I take it as, is he the no-doubt franchise quarterback the next 10 years? I mean, I think that he is. I don't know that he is, but I think on his progression, yes, he's the guy. I'm comfortable with Mac Jones. I'm not looking for anybody else. But I think the way you guys have answered the question, to me, it sounds like if you don't think he's the guy, or at least going to be the guy, then why wouldn't you look at other options?
All right. Well, there you go. Here comes three up, three down with the big boy right after.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day.
Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the Cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, three up, three down with Greg Bedard is presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with the triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Three up, three down. The three studs, three duds from Sunday's Laffer against the Jaguars. Greg, who's your number one star?
Jacoby Myers. I thought he was excellent in this game, not only catching passes, caught a couple, you know, third downs, the touchdown. I thought he did a nice job blocking as well. I thought he was by far the Patriots' best player on a down-to-down basis.
I went Ramondre Stevenson. I thought he was terrific after missing some time. I thought every time he ran, hard. It's not just the yardage total. I thought he looked surprisingly good for a guy who would miss time.
Number two.
Ted Karras. Clean sheet for him. I thought he did a really nice job in the interior.
I went Kyle Duggar. I thought Duggar was pretty good in this game. There was one play in particular he made that stuck out to me. We absolutely came flying in like a missile and knocked the guy back like 2 yards. I thought Duggar was good.
Third.
Kyle Duggar, with also a shout-out to Jonnu Smith, because I've been hard on him this year, and I thought he had a much better game, especially run blocking. He took on a lot of N'Keal Harry's sort of edge run blocking in this game and did way better than N'Keal Harry's ever done. But I thought Kyle Duggar, for a lot of what Maz said, I thought he was decisive in the running game. He didn't think much. He filled the hole really well, tackled well. I thought his interception, while mostly Trevor Lawrence's bad play, staring it down and being slow with his motion. He did read the quarterback, jumped in front, should have had a touchdown. Next time I think he'll probably leap into the end zone. He probably got a little heat for not taking that back for six. But I did really think he had a good game. It was a good rebound game. He had a couple tough weeks against the Colts and the Bills.
I had Jacoby Myers third. Yes. I think the real story is that neither one of us had Mac Jones, because it was that kind of layup of a game. Big deal. So you threw to open guys. Who gives a rat's ass?
All right. Can we come up with three down? What do you got?
Jelani Tavai, the linebacker. He got in as a sub-package linebacker to sort of, hey, we really stunk against the Bills, and teams are going to just take the checkdowns all day. So let's try somebody else there to see if he can cover. Guess what? He can't either. So go find somebody else.
So this is unfair, but it was that kind of game. So N'Keal Harry, dude, if you can't dress for Jacksonville, you blow. Like, you don't have a place in the league if you can't dress for Jacksonville. So N'Keal Harry, for being inactive, was my number one down.
Next.
By the way, I'm going to stick up for N'Keal Harry a little bit here because, first of all the tongue bathing about Christian Wilkerson, who, let's also not forget that he dropped the third down pass and dropped the touchdown in that game. And, if I'm N'Keal Harry, I'm like, I'm judged off of playing the Bills, who are pretty damn good. And Christian Wilkerson is getting celebrated for playing against the Jags. Are you kidding me? So I just wanted to say that a little bit in defense of N'Keal Harry. But my second down was Michael Owenu. He got in as the sixth offensive lineman a couple times, played some guard during the game. He was not good at anything.
My second down was J.C. Jackson. There was one play in particular where what's his name? The quarterback from Jacksonville.
Trevor Lawrence was rolling out to his right.
He's rolling out to his right and just threw the ball up like to nobody. And the guy got behind J.C. Jackson and made a catch for a 20-yard gain or whatever the hell it was. I thought it was an absolutely god-awful play. In fact, I thought it was the Patriots' worst play of the day.
Number three.
Danielle Ekwuale. I think he's been decent for them when he's gotten in. He was not good in this game. He got shoved around and got pushed out of his gaps on multiple plays.
So we had to stretch a little. It was that kind of week again. N'Keal Harry didn't play. He was number one. Josh McDaniels was my third. Are you trying to get Kendrick Bourne killed at the end of the game? Or Bill Belichick, whoever it is? But if you're calling the plays, you're up 44-3 and you're still throwing to a guy in the middle of the field and getting his head taken off. What the hell are we doing? I hated that play. Can't tell you how much I hated that play.
Okay, three up, three down in the books. We'll get right back to your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Henry on the right wing. Shotgun snap to Mac Jones. Back, a throw. Lob, fading, left side. Caught by Myers. Touchdown, Patriots. On target and on time for Jacoby's second score of the year.
A rookie quarterback, man, came to play today, boy. Perfect throw off the catch because it's quick. And he's running that post corner from the inside. It's a perfect delivery. So it's Wilkerson outside. It's that smash route. just delivers a perfect ball to Myers over the shoulder in that back corner by the pylon. Mac is on fire today.
So Zolak says Mac Jones came to play. He was on fire. Craig Bedard, you weren't as impressed?
No, I mean, I thought he played okay to good. I didn't think in the first half I had him for one plus play, three minus plays, and that was the one plus play was the touchdown to Jacoby Myers, which was, of course, well-timed, perfect touch, great pass, pretty simple defense to do it against. Second half, I had him for four plus plays, three minus plays. So I thought he played well. I didn't think it was a very challenging game. He was under basically no pressure the entire game, outside of the sack, which was his own fault. In 3.54 seconds, he could have thrown a ball up to Kendrick Bourne if he wanted to. That was a bad sack to take. Outside of that, I'm not sure he got touched in this game. And so it was easy from a pressure perspective. But, I thought he was good. I thought it was a good game for a game that he needed. He needed things to sort of slow down, have a lot of success, but look, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just like people were falling all over themselves about the 50 burger against the Jets. What happened the next week against the Chargers? They won the game. The offense was not good. Mac Jones wasn't good in that game. I think he completed 51% of his passes, needed an Adrian Phillips pick six to win that game. So there was no carryover for the passing offense after the last 50 burger. So they are going to get a challenge against Miami. I thought Mac handled them really well. Brian Flores threw the kitchen sink at him in his first career start. I thought Mac was really good in that game. He's going to get more of that in the heat and humidity. It's going to be tough for them down there. I'm interested to see how they do this week.
Mike, you already know this, but they don't get much easier than that game. I mean, to play quarterback in that game, you can put any good stiff back there for the most part and say, just don't screw it up. And again, I'm not penalizing Jones for that game, but I'm not going to give him a lot of credit for it either. Playing quarterback in the NFL does not get much easier than it was on Sunday against Jacksonville. That was a layup.
Do you guys agree with the analysis that would say Mac Jones is one of the best rookie quarterbacks of all time? That was the headline on Mark Daniels' story in the Projo this week. Mac Jones is one of the best rookie quarterbacks of all time. I'll give you just a couple of snippets. He says, according to Pro Football Focus, you can find 23 first-year quarterbacks who've started a playoff game since 1950. But when you take away injury replacements, only 14 rookie quarterbacks have led their teams to the postseason in their first year. We've seen six in the last 10 years: Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, and Andy Dalton. Jones will join an exclusive group when he starts in the postseason this year. By winning his 10th game on Sunday, the rookie joins rare company. The NFL has seen 98 rookie quarterbacks start at least 10 games. Prior to Jones, only eight have won 10 or more of those contests. Give you one more. On Sunday, Jones became the 12th rookie quarterback to lead his team to a winning record and the 8th again to win 10 or more games in his first season. He joins Ben Roethlisberger, Prescott, Luck, Matt Ryan, Wilson, Joe Flacco, and Kyle Orton. So is Mac Jones one of the best rookie quarterbacks of all time, Greg?
I would not say that. I would say that I think it would be fair to say Mac Jones has had one of the best rookie quarterback seasons of all time, but that's different than saying he's one of the best rookie quarterbacks ever. I mean, what do we know about rookie quarterbacks that play right away as rookies? Most of the time they're taken very high, and most of the time those teams were really bad the year before. And, you know, so Peyton Manning, for example, had a quote unquote bad rookie season. Does that mean that he was a bad rookie quarterback? No. It means he was on, you know, a crap team in a crap situation. Troy Aikman's team, I think, went 1-15 his first year in Dallas. Was that because he was a bad quarterback? No, he was in a bad situation. We all knew, and we have been saying for months, that Mac Jones was landing in one of the best situations ever for a rookie quarterback. And I think that has come to fruition, and that is more responsible. The coaching, the talent influx, all that is more responsible for his performance as a rookie than actually his own performance himself.
Mike, those names you just rattled off, there are three or four of those guys that comparing apples to apples now. Okay, like, you know, let's compare them at the same point in time with a week to go in their regular first regular season. Three or four of those guys, I would take over Jones without batting an eye. And to me, that's Wilson, Prescott, Luck, and probably Robert Griffin III. Now, look, Griffin got a knee injury later and it changed everything, but do we all forget what he was like as a rookie? He was terrific.
He was awesome.
He was absolutely and not just as a runner. That was part of his game, but he was an efficient passer, too.
And Wilson, that rookie year, was winning games for Seattle and bringing them back in games. He did it against the Patriots.
I mean, this look, I understand that if it doesn't happen here, it doesn't exist in the eyes of most New Englanders and Boston sports fans. But the reality is, all four of those guys were way better than Jones as a rookie.
He should be in the discussion.
Way better.
Yeah, the like top five, but like best ever? No, no.
I mean, Dak Prescott was dynamite as a rookie. Dynamite.
On Sunday, Jones became the 15th rookie quarterback, only 15 in NFL history, to reach 3,000 passing yards and 20 touchdowns. Jones's 3,500 passing yards are the 11th most by a first-year player in NFL history. Most of the names in front of him are impressive. Luck, Herbert, Newton, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, Peyton Manning, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Prescott, and Jim Kelly. With 21 touchdown passes, 21. Jones is currently tied for 11th all-time among first-year quarterbacks. His 332 completions are the 7th most in NFL history behind Herbert, Wentz, Bradford, Murray, Carr, and Luck. His 92.5 quarterback rating is 10th best. How come I'm hearing people sigh?
Because it's like all these stats and so much of them pile up against crap teams. Six of their 10 wins this season came against teams set to pick in the top 10 in the draft this year. Jacksonville, Houston,
but
the Jets a couple of times.
So, but hold on.
But that's not it for
me. Carson Wentz didn't. Yeah, I mean, of course, everybody plays bad teams. So, like all these other rookie quarterbacks, I'm sure they played some complete cream puffs. Go ahead.
Yeah, to me, it's a different game. That's what everybody's throwing. So even
that's
rookies,
the answer.
Yeah, even rookies are going to put up numbers. Of course, you're going to put up numbers. Everybody throws. The whole game is in the air now. It's 100% built around the quarterback, practically. So there are a few cases where it's not. So you know, and you mentioned Jim Kelly on that list. All the other guys are basically modern era or pretty close to it. And in the case of Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, he was older when he came into the
USFL.
League, right? Yes.
Right, he played two years for the Houston Gamblers, so he wasn't a pure rookie.
Exactly. So, you know, I just look again. He's had a pretty decent year. Jones has. I'd give him a B. He's been a B player for a rookie. Pretty good.
I think you nailed it, though, Maz. If it didn't happen here, it didn't happen. Like, that's the mentality.
I mean, let's not be stupid about it. Like, Russell Wilson's rookie year compared to Mac Jones? Oh, come on. If you wouldn't take Russell Wilson over Mac Jones, then you're an idiot. I hate to sound like, what's his name? Lombardi. Mike Lombardi. You're a moron if you believe that. And look, I mean, and Andrew Luck, too. Mike, the other thing is a lot of these guys came into bad teams. You know, Robert Griffin III was, the number two pick in the draft, right? He came into a bad situation. Turned that franchise around overnight. Like, you know, so the people want to go so far with this Mac Jones thing. I like the kid. He's got a good sort of vibe about him. But let's not get stupid about it. There were still a lot of questions.
I mean, Troy Aikman as a rookie was 0-11, completed 53% of his passes, threw 9 touchdowns, and threw 18 interceptions. And does that mean that Mac Jones is a better quarterback as a rookie than Troy Aikman? Of course not. And I absolutely hate statistical comparisons because you can no longer compare eras anymore in the NFL, especially, you know, with the rule changes. I mean, you know, the quarterbacks not being allowed to be touched. I mean, it used to be quarterbacks used to get ragdolled down on sacks, completely thrown to the turf, and it was just part of the game. Now, if you breathe on them wrong, you get a flag. And, you know, like Maz alluded to, these quarterbacks now, it's a different era. These kids are basically bred since Pop Warner in spread offenses throwing all the time. Seriously, since they're like 5 years old, that's what they do. That's not the way it was back then. So to compare eras to me is just, it's a fool's errand. You can't do it.
All right, Mark Daniels. Sorry. good numbers, but does not pass the Felger and Maz sniff test. We get right to your phones, I promise. But pick them right up after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
This on-demand Sports Hub content is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Be sure to enjoy the game with a triple-distilled, triple-cask matured, and triple-blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. 40% alcohol by volume. Imported by William Grant & Sons Incorporated, New York, New York.